Thank you for joining us today for a presentation on Update to FDA Forms 356H and 1571, Commercial versus Research SNOMED CT, which stands for Systematized Nomenclature of Medicine Clinical Terms Combination Products. The webinar will provide a description of the latest update to FDA's 356H and 1571 forms scheduled for release in May 2018. These changes include the identification if the product is a commercial IND or research IND, the identification of combination products, and the inclusion of SNOMED CT. This webinar will also have a live walkthrough of the completed 356H and 1571 forms with these fields with mock data. We'll now introduce our first speaker, Elizabeth Chen, PharmD, Science Policy Analyst, Office of New Drugs, Immediate Office, Center for Drug Evaluation and Research.
All right. Thank you, Ray. I will briefly touch on the topics to be covered during this webinar. During the first part of this webinar, we'll go over the changes and updates that have been made to Form FDA 1571, for INDs and Form FDA 356H for marketing applications. The change to include a commercial versus research identifier applies only to Form FDA 1571, and the SNOMED CT and combination product changes apply to both forms. In the second portion of this webinar, I will walk you through the steps of filling out the two updated forms using mock data. Then we will conclude with contact information and acknowledgments. I will now turn the presentation over to Mia Prather to discuss the change to the FDA Form 1571 related to commercial and research INDs.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Hello, and welcome to the 1571 Form Commercial versus Research portion of the webinar. My name is Mia Prather, and I'm a supervisory program analyst within the Office of Business Informatics, the Division of Data Management Services and Solutions, and the Center for Drug Evaluation and Research. Over the next few minutes, I'd like to share some important information as it pertains to the 1571 form. So let's get started. Starting May 5th, 2018, the binding electronic submission guidance will require that all commercial INDs be submitted in ECTD format. The latest fillable form, FDA 1571, found on the FDA's forms website, allows the submitter to identify an IND submission as commercial or research. In order to prepare for this change, FDA has introduced a new data element on the 1571 form so submitters are able to identify their submission as commercial or research. You may ask yourself, where is this new data element? The new identifier is located in box 6. For your information, CDER now requires this commercial research identifier when submitters request a new IND application number. FDA asks that you periodically visit the forms website to ensure you're always using the latest version of the forms, as FDA may introduce new data elements. These updates occur when there's new legislation, to support a binding guidance, or to improve a process. Please avoid recycling previously submitted forms. Instead, check the website to see if there's a new version of the form, revisit the data elements that are requested, as this ensures FDA has the latest information for your current submission. You may ask yourself, how will I obtain this information so I can successfully complete the form? You should select commercial if the product under investigation is intended to be commercialized at a later date, or select research if the product under investigation is not to be commercialized at a later date. Again, when you or your organization begins to prepare submission, please be sure to visit the FDA Forms website for the latest version of the forms, along with the corresponding instructions for completing the form. Some preparers have the tendency to store the form on their computer by performing a file save as function for each submission, not realizing that the form was updated 1 year ago. Again, a periodic FDA Forms website visit will ensure your form is current. Should you have any questions pertaining to this update, please feel free to contact CDER's Division of Drug Information. They can be contacted via email or are simply a telephone call away. Good luck with your future submissions, and thank you in advance for utilizing the latest version of the 1571 form.
Our next presenter is Lepasava Antonovic, who will discuss the change to include SNOMED CT for indications.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for the introduction, and greetings to all viewing this webinar. I will also note that I am a science policy analyst in the Center for Drug Evaluation and Research in the Office of New Drugs Immediate Office. And the intent of this part of presentation is to explain the changes respective of SNOMED CT terminology in the FDA Forms 1571 and 356H. We will now go through what is SNOMED CT and why is it being implemented. The acronym SNOMED CT stands for Systematized Nomenclature of Medicine Clinical Terms. It is the most comprehensive clinical healthcare terminology worldwide, and it is endorsed and supported by the National Library of Medicine, Center for Disease and Prevention, and the Office of National Coordinator for Health Information Technology. And as you may be aware already, SNOMED CT is a required FDA terminology standard for coding indications submitted as part of the study data for IND, NDA, BLA, and ANDA submissions. And also, indication disease mapping to SNOMED CT terminology provides needed means for additional tracking and metric analysis. Here are the illustrations of what has changed in the FDA Forms 1571 and 356H to include the indication disease mapping to SNOMED CT terminology. As you can see, what used to be field 7 in the 1571 and field 15 in the 356H form are now fields 7A and 15A. They include all the data elements as they did before, which are proposed indication for use along with orphan and rare disease designation characterization, while 7B and 15B are now new fields to capture the SNOMED CT indication disease term. And here's how one should go about getting the SNOMED CT indication disease term for the respective proposed indication. First step would be to navigate to the http://browser.ihtsdotools.org. This is the web page where the SNOMED CT browser is hosted. Next, one should select the US edition extension. Here is good to note that the most up-to-date 1571 and 356H forms and respective instructions, including instructions on how to fill out field for SNOMED CT indication disease term, can be found at the FDA Forms webpage. And you can easily navigate to this webpage by clicking on this URL link, or you can simply Google the FDA forms. Please make sure that you download the newest form. Also, IHTSDO, as you can see on the bottom of the slide, stands for International Health Terminology Standards Development Organization. Now we will go through an example with screenshots of the SNOMED CT browser. Here we navigate to the http://browser.ihtsdotools.org webpage, here highlighted as step one. Then select the US edition by clicking on Go Browsing United States Edition, highlighted as step two. And this would open the SNOMED CT browser. We then select the search tab on the left-hand panel, highlighted as step 3. Based on your proposed indication, you would type in the respective disease term in the search field, for example, high blood pressure, highlighted as step 4. Then you would check the box group by concept, to group the related terms and exclude unnecessary term redundancy, shown in step 5. Then select the most appropriate NOMED-CT term from the created list, highlighted as step 6. Once you have selected a term in step 6, the browser will generate the right-hand panel results. To copy the resulted NOMED-CT indication disease term, select the expression tab on the right-hand panel, highlighted as step 7. And finally, copy the entire text under the heading Pre-coordinated expression, which consists of concept ID, which is the number, in this case 38341003, and the concept term, in this case hypertensive disorder, systemic arterial, in parentheses, disorder. Now going back to the forms 1571 and 356H, you would paste the resulted SNOMED-CT indication disease term in the respective SNOMED-CT field in the form, which is 7B and 15, in 1571 form and 15B in the 356H form. It is important that the structure of the SNOMED-CT indication disease term, as generated by the browser, be preserved to include the number and text as shown here, highlighted in blue color for the high blood pressure example, showing the number, which is the example, in this example is 38341003, followed by the straight vertical line and the text, which is hypertensive disorder, systemic arterial, in parentheses disorder, and ending again with a straight vertical line. We will now go through some of the frequently asked questions. For example, do I need to provide SNOMED-CT code for every proposed indication? The answer is yes. A single SNOMED-CT indication disease term, which includes the concept ID, which is the number we just discussed, and the concept term, which is the text, should be provided for each proposed indication. This is consistent with the instructions for the proposed indication for use, where the continuation page should be used if there are more than one proposed indication. Therefore, for each proposed indication, you would enter the respective SNOMED-CT indication disease term. And here is the illustration on how to use continuation page for multiple indications and respective SNOMED-CT indication disease terms. As you can see, you can access the continuation page by clicking on the yellow section with the text continuation page for number 7 for the form 1571. And similarly, you would click on the continuation page for number 15, yellow box, for the form 356H. Another frequently asked question is, when are new versions of SNOMED-CT US edition released? The new versions of SNOMED-CT US edition are generally available in March and September of each year. They would be available at the same website, http://browser.ihtsdotools.org webpage. And related to that is the question whether you would need to update SNOMED-CT indication disease term when a new version is released. In that respect, if the SNOMED-CT indication disease term for the proposed indication of an application or submission has changed, the updated SNOMED-CT indication disease term should be provided. And this updated information can be provided with your next additional information or supplements submission. Now, what should you do if you cannot find the proposed indication target disease you are looking for? Indeed, SNOMED-CT is an extensive terminology and can have multiple levels of granularity. Therefore, depending on the target disease of your proposed indication, there may be different levels of the disease term granularity. In this respect, one should choose the highest granularity term that is appropriate for the proposed indication. Here we look at the hypothetical example to illustrate this concept. The low granularity term, or in other words, a high-level term, would be in this case hypertensive disorder, systemic arterial, in parentheses, disorder, while the higher or high-level granularity would include more specific, in other words, granular terms, such as hypertension in chronic kidney disease due to type 1 diabetes mellitus disorder, or hypertension in chronic kidney disease, stage 2 due to type 2 diabetes mellitus disorder. Therefore, if you cannot find the high granularity or very specific term for your proposed indication target disease, you should then select a more general, in other words, a lower granularity term that is representative of your proposed indication target disease. This ends our presentation related to SNOMED CT indication disease term information in the FDA Forms 1571 and 356H. Once again, when you or your organization begin to prepare submissions, please avoid reusing previously submitted forms. Instead, please be sure to visit the FDA Forms website for the latest version of the forms along with the corresponding instructions for completing the forms. FDA asks that you visit the FDA Forms website to ensure you're always using the latest version of the forms, as forms do change periodically. These updates occur when there is a new legislation to support the binding guidance or improve a process. If you have any further questions regarding the information discussed in this presentation, please contact CDER Division of Drug Information. Thank you very much for your attention.
Our third presenter is Melissa Burns, who will discuss the change related to combination products.
Hello, I'm Melissa Burns, a senior program manager in FDA's Office of Combination Products. I will spend the next few minutes discussing combination products and related updates to Forms 356H and 1571. Before we discuss updates to the forms, I'd like to take a few minutes to introduce combination products and related terminology. First, what is a combination product? For FDA, a combination product is any product comprised of two or more different types of medical products being drugs, devices, and biological products. FDA regulates these combination products by assigning them to a lead center, either CBER, CDER, or CDRH, who has primary responsibility for their review. Common combination products include syringes pre-filled with injectable drug products, transdermal patches coated with a drug or a biological product, first aid kits containing bandages, ointments, and other medical products, and inhalers packaged with pre-filled drug cartridges. Now that we've discussed what combination products are, here are some reminders on products that are not, but can sometimes be confused to be, combination products. Products that contain two or more of the same medical product, for example, two or more drugs together, or devices and devices together, and products containing a medical product combined with only a non-medical product, for example, so-called cosmeceuticals, including such things as products that combine sunscreen with a cosmetic, or medical food products. These combinations of a medical product with only a non-medical product are not combination products. Examples of products that are not combination products include combination drug products that combine several drugs into the same dosage form, kits containing just devices or just drugs or just biological products. Also note that devices, such as syringes and other products used for drug delivery, when separately distributed empty, are typically not combination products. There are three categories of combination products. Single-entity combination products are products for which the constituent parts, and by constituent part I mean the drug, device, and or biological product that is part of the combination product, are physically or chemically combined. Examples include prefilled syringes and transdermal patches containing drug products. Co-packaged combination products are those where the constituent parts are packaged together but not chemically or physically combined, as would be the case for first aid kits containing separately packaged devices and drugs, empty syringes packaged together with a drug product vial. Cross-labeled is another category of combination products where the constituent parts are packaged separately but labeled and need to be used specifically with one another for their therapeutic effect. These include certain light-activated drug products packaged separately from the associated light activation device. Next, I'll go through the different types of combination products. These will be important because one of these types will need to be selected when you identify your product as a combination product on Form 356H or 1571. Type 1 are the co-packaged combination products. For example, vials of drug product co-packaged with syringes or drug or biological products packaged with transfer sets or other devices used to prepare and administer the drug or biological product. Type 2 are the prefilled delivery systems for drug products, syringes, inhalers, patches, and other devices prefilled or pre-coated with a drug. Likewise, type 3 are the prefilled delivery systems for biological products. For example, prefilled vaccine syringes or microneedle patches pre-coated with a biological product. Type 4 are devices embedded or impregnated with or into a drug product. For example, a contact lens device pre-coated with a drug product or drug pills embedded with device sensors. Likewise, type 5 are such device biological product configurations, including, for example, live cells on a device scaffold. Type 6 are drug biological product combination products, such as antibody drug conjugates. Type 7 are the cross-labeled combination products discussed earlier. Type 8 is typically used when labeling for a drug or biological product discusses a device, but the submitter is unclear on whether the product is a combination product. Type 9 are any combination products not described previously, including products that include all three types of medical product. For example, a syringe prefilled with an antibody drug conjugate. A field is now available on the forms to include a request for designation, or RFD number. Briefly, an RFD is a written submission to the Office of Combination Products requesting that we indicate what the product is, in other words, requesting classification of the product as a drug, a device, a biological product, or a combination product, and who will lead review of the product, in other words, which FDA center, CBER, CDER, or CDRH. Note that most products do not require an RFD prior to making a pre-market submission to FDA. RFDs are typically needed only in cases where the classification or assignment of the product is unclear or in dispute. You may be wondering, how do I know if my product is a combination product and or what type of combination product it is? In many cases, we will have indicated that it is a combination product in meeting and submission interactions regarding the product. You can also use the previous slides as references and examples to determine if your product is a combination product and, if so, what type. For marketed products, you can also check your registration and listing, as there are existing fields for combination products used during registration and listing. If you are still not sure about the status of your product, contact the Product Jurisdiction Officers, or PJOs, in the lead center for your product for assistance. See emails here for either CDER or CBER. So, why did FDA add combination products fields to the 356H in 1571? As you may expect, combination product reviews often involve collaboration by more than one center to ensure that appropriate expertise is engaged. Identifying combination products when a submission is received by FDA helps us ensure efficient triage and early engagement from FDA staff so that sponsors receive timely and appropriate feedback on their submissions. Also, Congress recognized the importance of sponsors identifying products as combination products when interacting with FDA, and a provision was included in the 21st Century Cures Act. The slide shows the relevant language from Cures. Including these combination product fields on the 356H and 1571 enable sponsors to fulfill the requirements specified in 21st Century Cures. I will show you on the next slide the fields that will be completed for combination products on the forms, but first I want to clarify when these fields need to be completed. For the 356H, selecting either yes or no that a product is a combination product is needed for original submissions and supplements. This includes labeling, CMC, efficacy, and REMS supplements. For the 1571, the yes-no combination product selection is required on original submissions, meaning submissions identified on the 1571 as initial INDs. If you select no when completing the form for one of these submission types, the combination product type field does not need to be completed. If you select yes, you will also enter a single-digit numeric number indicating the type of combination product, as I discussed in earlier slides. There is also an optional field to enter a request for designation number if such an interaction occurred for the product. Here are the sections of the forms. On the 356H, you will see the yes-no field, a location for the combination product type, and the optional RFD field in item 24 on the 356H. The same information is in item 12 on the 1571. If you still have questions about combination products, please visit the Office of Combination Products webpage shown here for additional information and answers to frequently asked questions. You can also contact the product jurisdiction officers in the lead center via these inboxes for CDER or CBER, or you can contact the Office of Combination Products. Note that the combination products email address is correctly formatted on this slide. Reminder, FDA asks that you periodically view the FDA Forms website to ensure that you're always using the latest version of the forms. FDA may introduce new data elements when there's new legislation to support a binding guidance or to improve a process. Please avoid recycling previously submitted forms. Check the website to see if there's a new version of the form. Revisit the data elements that are requested, as this ensures FDA will have the latest information for your current submission. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. I will now walk through the process of filling out the updated forms. I will focus on the new fields, but will still go over every data element. All pre-filled data is mock data for purposes of demonstration only. Once again, remember to always check the FDA Forms website when preparing submissions to download the most up-to-date version of the form and corresponding instructions. This is one situation where recycling is not recommended. These forms are often updated due to new legislation to support a binding guidance or to improve a process. This means that FDA may introduce new data elements that will be absent from outdated versions of the form. The current version of each form on the FDA Forms website is always the version of that form approved for use by the FDA at the current time. We will begin with the FDA Form 1571 for pre-marketing applications. In box one, you should fill in the name of the sponsor. This should be a single person or entity and does not need to be located in the U.S. In box two, you should fill in the date of the submission, the date that you are filling out this form, which should match the date on the cover letter of your submission. In box three, you fill in the contact information for the sponsor. All boxes need to be filled in, so if there's a situation where one of the boxes doesn't apply, you may need to repeat or fill in this information. For example, we have Italy filled in two times because this box is also required. In box four, you should include the telephone number with the country code if applicable. In box five, you should list the name of the drug. All available names should be included, and if more space is needed, you can use this continuation page, where you can continue to add in names for the drug. In box 6A, you should fill in the IND number if it has been previously assigned for original applications, or you should already have one that is assigned for subsequent submissions. In 6B, as was previously covered in this webinar, you should select whether this IND is a commercial or research IND. In box 7, you should list 7A, you should list the indication. For each indication that is included in your application, you should answer all the questions in this field for 7. So for this indication, you should indicate whether or not it is a rare disease, whether it has an FDA orphan designation, and if it does, you should include the orphan designation number assigned by FDA, which is always formatted as 2 digits with a hyphen and 4 more digits. In 7B, you should navigate to the website that was previously mentioned in this webinar, you should go to http://browser.ihstdotools.org in order to find the appropriate SNOMED CT indication disease term for your indication. And again, you should use the continuation page for each new or different indication that you are planning to cover or submit in your IND application. So in this case, I've added a different indication here. I've answered the same questions once again. In this case, I've indicated no and not provided a orphan designation number. And I've added a new SNOMED CT indication disease term. And I've done the same here. Okay. In box 8, you should indicate all phases of clinical investigation to be conducted. You can specify an additional one using other. In box 9, you should list numbers of all related drugs, whether IND, drug applications, or files. So this could be an IND, NDAs, DMFs, or BLAs that are referred to in this application. In 10, you should indicate the serial number. You should add the leading zeros. If this is your initial IND submission, you should use 0000. If you are submitting a pre-IND application, this form does not need to be filled out, so you do not need to indicate a different serial number for this application, for that application. In 11, you should indicate what the submission contains. I've chosen the initial investigational new drug application, so the first submission for this IND. However, in other cases, you may need to select one or more of these other responses, and in other, you can specify something if it's not covered by the options in this box. In field 12, because I selected initial IND in 11, I am able to fill in whether or not this product is a combination product. For purposes of illustration, I've selected yes. I've selected combination product type 4, which you can find the full list in the instructions or in the slides that were previously presented. And again, in the rare case where you have previously requested a request for designation interaction with the Office of Combination Products, you can fill in that number here. In 13, you can fill in any of these items if they apply to your application. In 14, you should indicate all the different items that are the contents of your application. You can select as many or as few as apply to your application, but please select all the ones that you need. In field 15, they're asking this question about any portions of the clinical study that will be conducted by a contract research organization. In this situation, I've indicated yes. If yes, you need to continue on to the other question, which indicates what the obligations are that will be transferred. I've chosen yes. Now, in this case, since I have selected yes two times, you need the continuation page in which you will list any contract research or contract service organizations that will be taking over some or all of the responsibilities of the IND application or clinical trial. In field 16, you should list the name and title of the person responsible for monitoring the conduct and progress of the clinical investigation. This is usually but may not be an employee of the company. In 17, you should list the name and title of the person responsible for review and evaluation of all information relevant to the safety of the drug. And again, this may be someone from one of the contract research organizations you've employed. We have the attestation statement here, certification statement here. And in 18, you should list the name of the sponsor or the sponsor's authorized representative. So this is the contact that will be responsible for this person may be responsible for communicating with FDA. You should list their contact information, telephone number with country code, fax number with country code. In 21, you should list the address. Again, this one can be outside of the country. and you should list the date of the signature. Now, in 24, you need a countersigner, and this countersigner must be located within the United States. This information, so in 25, you'll see that this information applies only to the U.S., and they need to fill that information in. You should include their email address in 26. In 27, you can have the sponsors electronically sign it with all the PDF options. And in 28, you should have the countersigner sign the document as well. When you reach the signature stage, there is an additional check. If any of the fields that are required have not yet been filled in, the form will not allow you to electronically sign the document. A pop-up will indicate which fields still need to be filled in before you can progress, and you can correct those issues and fill in those fields and then sign the form when you're ready. We'll now move on to form FDA Form 356H, which is for marketing applications. A lot of this information is similar to the 1571 form, but I will still go over all of the data elements. In the first field, you should fill in the date of the submission. Once again, this should match the date on the cover letter that you submit with your submission. In two, you fill in the name of the applicant. Of note, if this is for a biologic application, the name of the applicant must appear in this box the way you would like the license to be issued to. In field 3 and 4, you fill in the appropriate contact information with country code as needed. In field 5, this does not have to be within the U.S., so again, you fill in the information and address as needed. You can fill in an email address. You can fill in NA if needed. If a DUNS number has previously been assigned or issued, you should fill in that DUNS number. And if this is a biologic with a license number, you should fill in that number as well. In 6, you need to include the information for the authorized U.S. agent. This agent, again, must be reside within the United States and have an address and contact within the U.S. So you should fill in the address and contact information as needed. If this U.S. agent also has a DUNS number, that should be filled in separately. In field 7, you should fill in the application number. You may contact the FDA prior to submitting an application in order to get a pre-assigned application number. In field 8, if you are submitting a supplement, so this is an already approved application that you are submitting an amendment to, you should add the supplement number that is appropriate. Fields 9, 10, and 11, you can fill in any names that exist for your drug or biologic. If the name of the drug, for example, the chemical name, is too long to fit within the character limit, you can include that information on the cover letter of your submission. In 12, 13, and 14, you should list the information on the dosage form strengths and route of administration for your drug or product. In 15A, we see the change in the indication field that was covered previously in this webinar. So once again, you should indicate this. You should enter in the indication that you are proposing for in this particular application. You should answer all questions again regarding rare disease or orphan designation for the product, and you should fill in the appropriate SNOMED CT indication disease term. And once again, use the continuation page to fill in any additional indications that are included in this particular submission. In 16, you will select the application type. This includes NDA, BLA, and ANDA application types. Whichever application type you select in field 16 will affect which other fields you need to fill in. For example, if you select NDA, you need to answer question 17. If you select 20, if it is also a 505B2 NDA application. If you select BLA, you may need to answer, you will need to answer field 18 and indicate what type of BLA it is, an original or a biosimilar application. If it is a biosimilar application, you will need to fill out field 19 with the name of the reference product and the name of and the holder of the license application. If it is an ANDA or a 505B2 NDA application, you need to fill out in field 20 the listed drug products and select the appropriate patent certifications. These are paragraph 1, paragraph 2, paragraph 3, or paragraph 4, or section 8, and include that information in this portion. Moving on to the next page, in field 21, you should indicate, again, the type of submission this is. I've selected original, but you may select the others, multiple other submissions as needed. In 22, you are indicating the timing of the or type of submission. If it is a pre-submission, that's in special cases where there's an agreement with FDA to submit portions of an application prior to the full application being received. I've chosen initial submission here. Amendment or resubmission may apply to original, supplement, etc. For field 23, if it is a supplement, and only if it is a supplement, you should indicate what category of supplement it is, whether it's the changes being affected or prior approval supplement. In field 24, for all originals and all supplements, you should indicate, as was previously covered in the webinar, whether or not it is a combination product. If you select yes, you should indicate the type in the next field, and if, in the rare case, you have a request for designation interaction with the Office of Combination Products, you should indicate that number in this field. In 25, you should indicate whether any of these factors apply to your submission, whether it contains only pediatric data, any human factors information. In field 26, you should indicate the proposed marketing status for your drug or product. In field 27, you can expound on if you use this other field or just in general, you should explain why you're submitting this application or this submission. In field 28, you should include any relevant establishment information. This may include establishments that only conduct part of the manufacturing process. I will not go into a lot of detail here, but you should include all relevant information. These may be inside or outside of the U.S., and you should check the items that are relevant to your application. You should include a contact for the establishment with the contact information, and the steps that are manufacturing steps or testing that is performed in each particular establishment. And you should indicate whether or not the site is ready for inspection. Upon submitting your initial marketing application, all sites should be ready for inspection unless you have previously contacted the agency. You will most likely have more than one establishment included in a particular application, so please utilize the continuation page and fill in all necessary information for every establishment that is included in your application. The continuation pages can hold 31 entries. In field 29, you should list all cross-references. You can list related applications. You can list all of these different items that are referenced in the application. Again, if you need more in more space, you can go to the continuation page and include that those items. In field 30, this is the contents. You should list, check all boxes that are relevant to this particular submission. In cases where you're selecting a box with subsections, you should make sure to include all the relevant subsections as well. Field 30 continues on to the next page, and you can continue to select the contents of your application. This is now the certification stage. We are almost done. In this certification statement, needs to be signed by the responsible official for the applicant or license holder, and also countersigned by the authorized U.S. agent, if applicable. So you should list the name and title, the date of the signature. You should include their contact information, their address, and include the electronic signatures. And just as in the 1571 form, this form will also have a check where if you did not fill in all required fields, you will not be able to electronically sign the document until you have gone back and filled in those fields. And once you have filled those out, you will be able to sign the application. Okay. That's the end of the live walkthrough portion of this webinar. If you still have questions related to the topics covered in this webinar, please contact CDER's Division of Drug Information. Their contact information is listed here. Once again, always visit the FDA Forms webpage for the most up-to-date versions of all FDA forms and their corresponding instructions. You can find that URL here on this slide or by doing a web search for FDA Forms, as I'm sure most people will do. Finally, I would like to acknowledge and thank all our presenters, SBIA, and everyone listed on this slide, especially the members of the FDA Forms Working Group.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. That now brings us to the end of this very informative webinar. On behalf of CDER Small Business and Industry Assistance, we hope that you enjoyed today's presentation and found it helpful. We look forward to your presence at future webinars, which will be advertised on our website at fda.gov/CDER SBIA webinars. Thank you.